Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
John McClain, stud, coming in from the hospital earlier today to the bench at this picnic table here at Little Woodrow's in Rice Village. John, how are you feeling?
I feel a whole lot better today than I did earlier in the week, and I want to thank the posse, Tony Sherrill, Rick Tindall, and behind me, about to turn 85 years old, David McCam, who was the head of journalism when I was at Baylor, taught me everything I know about journalism, and always told me, he said, one time, better take a speech class in case you ever want to do anything where you're talking. And that was in 1972. And I owe him everything. He lives over here in Westview, and I'm glad he came by.
Yeah.
And I'm in this situation that I'm in right now, which caused me to miss In the Loop and Mad Radio, was I was in Nashville hosting fundraisers over the weekend. Came back Monday morning. I was in, I was in parking garage B at Intercontinental, and the machine ate my American Express card when I was trying to pay my ticket for parking. And I was not happy, of course. And I found an attendant I saw quite a ways away. So I got out of the car. You know, people are honking. I'd been honking trying to get somebody's attention. And so I get out. I had my emergency flashers on. I started walking full speed to try to get to the attendant because I was holding people up. And the next thing I know, my left foot hit a speed bump, and I went flying, came down on my left shoulder. And I have a fractured left big toe. I had four fractures in my left shoulder and a dislocation, so I had to have a shoulder put in.
You have a new shoulder.
I have a new shoulder. I didn't even know that that you put in shoulders. I've heard hips, knees, ankles, and now I know you put in shoulders. And I've got to tell you, you know, I immediately reached out to Dr. James Muntz and Dr. Walter Lowe because the hospital where I was taken from the airport told me that I need to see an orthopedist, and they brought in, and I wanted to thank Dr. Andrew Chu, who's supposed to be the best shoulder surgeon in the country. He did a tremendous job on me, and there were so many people. I was so drugged up. You know, that's the only good thing about getting hurt. And
drugs.
I was trying to watch the All-Star game, and I thought, I dreamed that Bregman hit a home run, and I said, no, I'm dreaming. And the people over there, I ended up going to Memorial Hermann for the surgery. And I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Chu. He was just unbelievable. And Rodney Statz, Rodney works over there at Ironman Sports Medicine Institute. And his boss is Brad Brown, longtime Oilers trainer who went to Tennessee, now works back over there, and I wanted to thank him, and then the big boss, of course, is Walt Lowe.
Yeah.
And I had my foot, Dr. William McGarvey, I've got a big thing on my foot, nothing they can do about it, so I'm going to be in a boot for a while.
So you're in a boot, so basically, and I'm assuming the boot is on your...
I can't use the left side of my body.
I got to go to
training camp on Wednesday, and somehow right one-handed, they told me you cannot lift anything, and I found that I can do everything I need to do by myself, but the one thing that nobody else wants to do for you. And so I'm going to have to adjust
If
anybody has any
self-cleanliness,
ideas, email me, like a spoon or a brush or something like that. And it's been an ordeal, but the people up at the hospital, great. And one nurse in particular, Lori, Lori Stevenson. She was great. And when I'm on In the Loop on Tuesday, I'm going to tell you great stories about the people at Intercontinental that took such good care of me. I'm laying on my left shoulder. I'm in pain like I've never been pained.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed as hell. And a guy walks up and says, "What happened?" I said, "I think I tripped and broke my arm." "Oh, it's the general. Hey, everybody."
That's what I was going to ask you.
"Hey, what is Deshaun Watson?"
No, they're peppering you with Watson saying, questions while you're rolling on the ground.
Yep. And so then they say, "Hey, the Rockets going to sign Melo. What about the Astros bullpen?" And a woman said, "Leave that man alone. He's in pain." And I said, "No, please let me talk. Take my mind off of it." So I'm going to tell some of those stories on Tuesday and thank all those guys, Mike and Dwayne.
So you answered the questions?
And I did, because it took my mind off how much pain
I was under.
That's true.
Hey, you know what not need get lost in to get lost in that story? He's in Nashville hosting charity events.
Yeah.
He's rushing across the parking lot, not because he's pissed off because the card ain't working and the deal's not working, he can't find an attendant, but because he's worried about holding people up behind him in line. And he falls and tears up his whole left side. I mean, that speaks volumes.
Something
about
good
you,
has
man.
To come out of this, John. Because you're right, Clint. Your heart was in the right place
absolutely.
In this entire
thing.
Yeah,
the other thing is, I didn't hit my head.
Yeah, that's true.
My wife said I'd been in less trouble if I didn't hit my head instead of my shoulder. But everybody took such good care of me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I wanted to make sure that I came over here. Carol dropped me off. Rick Tindall said, "Did she come to a complete stop?" And then Tony Sherrill's going to take me home, and I'll be sitting around trying to get ready to go to West Virginia and find out if our photographer, Brett Coomer, and Aaron Wilson, how much they like me.
Yes.
If you've ever needed an assistant before, you need one now.
I do.
That can type really fast. You can just sit there and tell them what you think.
Yeah, that's not – I got a better chance – doing that one than the other one.
Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time finding the assistant for the other one. I pulled up next to a truck today when I was at Chick-fil-A of a place that their whole thing they did was scoop up dog poop all over town.
Did you get a number?
Maybe.
I'm so fired up about camp, and I was laying there, captive audience. I'm listening to 610. I'm watching the Sports Center, and I was so incoherent, I couldn't concentrate. I was looking at Texas Sports Nation and Crime.com, since I'm one-handed and we're not a tabloid newspaper. I couldn't read the Chronicle. So I was doing that for 4 days, well, 5 days, really. And the more – in two hospitals, 3 hours in the emergency room, 3 days in another one, people are so jacked about the Texans because of Watson.
Yep.
They're jacked about the Astros for obvious reasons. And the fans, in fact, while I was laying on the ground and they were asking me about Carmelo, a couple of them got in an argument about Carmelo. But almost everybody I've been around wants the Rockets to get him. And now he's going
to
be
available. It looks like it's about to happen. Yeah, John, you get approached by so many people asking about the Texans. And Dale did his Houston 10 thing last week where he put Deshaun Watson as the number one most compelling, popular, however you want to put it, in Houston. Is Deshaun Watson the man above everybody else right now in Houston?
No, he can't be the man over a guy that was voted MVP on a World Series winner.
Okay.
And now it was Dale's, because it came out when I was gone. 2000. Is Dale's for 2018 or 17?
It's for this year. It's the new one.
Well, with Harden being the MVP for a team that had best record in NBA,
yeah.
I would have Harden. With Altuve, is he first or second?
Altuve was fourth. He actually had Jim Crane and Jeff Luhnow as 2 and 3.
Okay, but his average, he's going to win another batting title.
Yes.
Would that be 5 in a row?
It's at least 4, I think.
And so I would put Altuve. You know, we're talking about Watson, and we've all got that snapshot of him last year. This time next year, to me, is when you would put Deshaun Watson number one.
Okay. It's been a bit of a jinx, Dale's list. Have you seen some of the – he had his past lists there.
I know
there.
He had Watt.
He had Watt 1 year. That was the 1 year it wasn't a jinx. Brock Osweiler was 2016. Dwight Howard was 2013. There's one more that you look at and you go, wow, I can't believe this guy. This is for Clint's benefit and the audience's benefit. This is a list Dale Robertson does in the Chronicle called the Houston 10, where it's a subjective list of who the most popular, compelling athletes and sports figures are in town, because there's GMs and coaches and owners and things like that. And he put Deshaun Watson at number one.
And I think that no matter – well, I think if you put Harden number one, coming off an MVP and having the best record in the NBA, and I think most of us believe – well, I can't say that. I believe, as a lot of others do, that if Chris Paul had not been hurt, they were going to win and advance to the finals and beat the Cavs. And so I don't think anybody could have argued Harden over Watson. I don't even think anybody go, oh, my God, how could you do that?
Yeah. He said if they had won the title, he would add Harden number one. That was the
Well, that's tough.
That was a deal breaker. It's not easy to do.
And I think the consistent regular season greatness of Harden, and that's what the MVP is voted on, I think that has to be recognized. But I can't wait. You know, it's always going to be usually one of those. Somebody said, well, Patrick Reed wins the Masters, can't make the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you do this is because it's subjective. And, you know, Brian T. Smith wrote a column about his list. Rom Solomon wrote about his list. It gets people to talking.
Oh, yeah.
It's really no wrong.
No. It's a good topic for stuff
Absolutely.
Like this.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
It's a really good topic when the Rockets did what they did and the Astros are doing what they've done.
Oh.
And then you got a guy like Deshaun who, although it was a small sample size, did what he did. I mean, it's really good time in Houston.
Clint, I'll send you the link to the article because Dale puts all the – he's been doing this since 2012, and he talks about this in the first two paragraphs. It was slim pickings back in 2012 and 2013.
Oh, yeah.
2013, the Astros won 51 games. The Texans went 2-14, and the Rockets had just gotten James Harden the year before, but they were still hadn't gotten Dwight Howard yet. So it was – it was lean times here, man.
Absolutely.
It was lean
times. Not now.
Don't take these for granted, right?
No.
When you were in high school, when were you in high school?
92 through 96.
So the Oilers were good in 92 and 93, and then they went down in tubes. I can't – what were the Rockets?
Rockets
won
two championships.
Rockets won a championship in that run.
When you were a senior.
Yep.
And I can't remember about
– Astros were okay. There was Bagwell and Biggio and Caminiti. Crew was starting to make their push.
Yep.
Finally made the playoffs in 97.
There was a lot. It was a good time to be in Houston. It's a good time to grow up in Houston, in that especially my high school years. Absolutely. I mean, even my younger years, John was. I mean, I remember vividly, mom and dad taking me down to an Astros. I don't know if it was a fan day type deal, but back then there was no security. We all went down on the field.
Yeah.
And got pictures with Jose Cruz and Kevin Bass and Nolan Ryan and Terry Poole and all those guys, man. And that was. I don't remember records and how successful those teams were, but it was fun to follow for sure. They were definitely competitive.
Yep. John McClain is in with us. All right, John, we got a lot of stuff to get to. How plugged in have you been the last couple days on everything going on in your morphine-induced haze?
I've been plugged in on almost everything.
All right.
I've just been sitting on my butt looking at TV.
Okay. Nothing to do but read, right?
All I had on was ESPN Sports Center.
All right, well, I would say that's pretty plugged in. So We'll get into some things. The big news that Clint and I hit right out of the chute today at 2 o'clock, we'll bounce that off, John McClain. It sounds like Indianapolis Colts and Houstonian Andrew Luck, sounds like he's ready to go. What does that mean for the AFC South? What are John's thoughts on how the Colts should handle this thing as we head to training camp? And now we'll get back to our topic of stack ranking the four quarterbacks. With a healthy Andrew Luck, what does the stack ranking of quarterbacks look like in the AFC South? Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner, John McClain is brought to you by HornSolutions.net, the Triple Threat, live at Little Woodrow's in Rice Village, Sports Radio 610. Last night, John, the Flag Football Championships were at BBVA Compass Stadium, and Deshaun Watson and Tyrann Mathieu were there on the sidelines watching. They were both interviewed for NFL Network, and I forget who the young lady is who was interviewing Deshaun, but she asked him, like, you know, what's something along the lines of, what are you thinking about most heading to training camp? You know, is it the being healthy from your knee injury, or are you just focused on going and getting? She says 50 touchdown passes. And his answer was, 50 plus.
Well, he was on a pace for 43.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting when Watson, in the four games that he played with Hopkins and Fuller, and he averaged 40.5 points, And he threw, let's see, 14 of his 19 touchdown passes to those two players.
Yeah.
Now, the key is for Fuller to stay healthy. He was hurt twice last year. I know he's worked his tail off in the weight room, try to get stronger, try to get to really build up his body.
He's yoked up. I've seen pictures.
Where he can take shots. Yeah. Now, the one where he went up and came down his shoulder, can't do anything about that.
That was where he broke his collarbone in training camp.
And Clint, you know this, they can't do anything about broken bones, but they all think they can do something about the soft tissue injuries.
Absolutely. Anytime you're talking about hamstrings or weight-bearing joint issues and stuff like that, there's no doubt about it at every level that the correct off-season approach to your off-season, obviously the pros have as good as there is out there instructing them, but the player's approach to taking care of his body, rehabbing, prehabbing, all that stuff can make a huge effect on knees, ankles, hamstrings, lower back issues. So you talk about a guy that's that talented, the sooner he gets to that point in his career where he becomes a true professional, like John's talking about, and takes care of his body, that dude can be an absolute monster. Some guys don't figure it out till it's too late.
Yeah.
But a guy with Fuller's ability with the gas left in his tank, he figures something like that out.
Especially
the connection with Watson.
With that quarterback, exactly.
When you have Fuller and Hopkins, and then you have Ellington and Kiki QT, those are guys with speed, with athleticism, and in Hopkins' case, doesn't have the blazing speed, but he's got everything else. And I just and the offensive line doesn't have to be great, doesn't have to be real good. It just has to be good enough, as it was in Watson's 6 starts.
Complimentary. They've got to be complimentary, John. They don't have to run the ball great, but they've got to run it complimentary to the pass game, complimentary to Watson's ability to move the pocket, things like that. The mix, the formula has to be there. And I'll add this to it, Sean. I don't mean to hold you up, but John. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Deshaun Watson's touchdowns and stats. We hope as Texans fans that he doesn't have to throw 19 or 14 or touchdowns.
That's
in those
a great point.
Of situations. You hope
he was in shootouts last year.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. And now while it was fun to watch, you know, you hope that he's not put in that position. There's a little bit more control over the game throughout 4 quarters to where you're not dependent on that many points or that kind of play from your quarterback, because it's hard to sustain that, man.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we had a conversation on the show earlier this week. They put odds out on who's going to lead the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and interceptions. And I thought Deshaun Watson was – I don't know if you saw this, John, while you were racked up, but Deshaun was way down on the list of guys for passing yards. It was weird. He was behind some weird names. He was like 50-1 to lead the league in passing yards,
sure,
behind guys like Tannehill and Case Keenum and just some guys who are, they're not on the level of Deshaun Watson. That's a good point, though. Like, I wonder if that's, as the odds makers are assessing that, I wonder if
Absolutely.
They're looking at the Texans defense saying he shouldn't have to go throw for 320 yards a game with a better defense. This is what surprised me, John and Clint. Deshaun Watson was the odds-on favorite to lead the league in interceptions at 5-1. Over all other quarterbacks.
Well, that must mean they think Texans are going to be behind a lot, because the guys that lead the league in interceptions are playing from behind. I think just the opposite. If you analyze, what do you have, 8 interceptions or 9?
Yeah, I think 8.
8. Well, then 4 of them weren't his fault. 4 were his fault.
Yeah.
And you have to always, and Clint, I know you will back this, you got to look at the interceptions individually. Because probably half of a quarterback's interceptions were not his fault. And even if you can't tell it by knowing it, you need to try to find out if the guy ran a wrong route.
Sure.
And the quarterback always takes the blame. I used to go to the Oilers receivers and ask them about Moon, and they were veterans, so they were usually honest about it.
Sure.
No, I screwed that up. And they love, you know how they love for quarterbacks to take the blame. And the quarterbacks like it when they step up and admit that it was their fault.
Well, you know, one thing we're not taking into consideration either is that was the first live action that Deshaun Watson saw at this level.
Yeah.
So you take all that into consideration. You know, there's a lot of good. And you're 100% right. I mean, I threw 4 picks in the second half against the Giants. And that's how I ended my football career, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? And the key, the thing is that I learned a lesson. Unfortunately, I learned them all in one quarter.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, if you talk to Deshaun Watson, now maybe not the ones that weren't his fault, maybe not the ones that were Hail Marys getting intercepted, but the four that John's talking about, I guarantee you that Deshaun Watson learned a lesson. Don't throw it late across the middle. If it's wet outside and you've got a double move, see the receiver get out of the double move. Don't let him slip, and then you hit the linebacker in the chest. You know, I overlooked an outlet one time. My outlet receiver was wide open on a free safety blitz to my left, and instead of throwing the outlet, I tried to throw to my go-to receiver, was Joey Galloway at the time, and me and Galloway weren't on the same page. So I learned, hey, it don't matter who the guy is out there, take the outlet. Mm-hmm. The play was designed to go right here. I guarantee you Deshaun's learning a lesson every interception he throws, and he'll be better because of it.
Well, we had O'Brien sitting on this bench right here a few weeks ago, and we talked plenty about Deshaun Watson. And if I remember correctly, John, that was one of the things he said about Deshaun, was just his ability to absorb information, and not just absorb information, but learn from mistakes. You know, absorbing information from things that happen to you in a game, not just playbook information. True. That he's an incredibly intelligent football player.
He also led the league in average yards per attempt. Now, he only had six starts, but that he didn't. They don't like to dump it off. Now, he likes to throw the ball down the field. Now, he made some passes last year, like that one to Ryan Griffin in New England.
Yeah.
That he never should have thrown.
Right.
And I'll guarantee you, the coaches went crazy, told him do not throw that. It was across the field. You know how they go nuts when y'all do that.
Sure.
Brett but he caught it, and it was a 37-yard game.
Yeah.
And so he wants to be good, and he knows that he makes mistakes that have to be corrected. He doesn't try to blame anybody else. And the key is he and O'Brien and he and John Ryan get along great.
Yep. John McClain, Clint Sterner, alongside me, Sean Pendergast, out here live at Little Woodrow's in Rice Village. Shifting gears. Inside the AFC South, John, news out of Indianapolis earlier today from, I believe it came from Chris Ballard, that Andrew Luck is full go for training camp. We were talking earlier about this. Do we think that full go in training camp means that he's going to be starting in week one for this team?
He'll be starting week one if he's full go. And I can't imagine they're just going to throw him out there and him do everything he did before he got hurt. To me, you've got to bring him along slowly. There's no need for him to get out there and do all that. But yes, barring a setback, he'll be the starter. And Clint, you being a quarterback, how good and exciting and competitive can this division be if Luck, Watson, and Mariota stay healthy and then Bortles improves on last season?
Jacksonville continues to win. Yeah, I mean, it could be a ton of fun to watch with the interest in Luck. If Luck can return, because let's be honest, what's behind Jacoby Brissett, and then I don't even know who the third string guy is right now. I mean, that team is substantially better and quite frankly just more appealing to watch than they are without Luck. So, look, man, I like Mariota. I think Mariota made huge strides late last year. I agree that the changes with the coach and the offensive coordinator is going to be big. And I'm as big a fan as Watson as there is out there. Now, I haven't bought into Bortles. I'm not buying into Bortles. I'm still not buying into Bortles. I just can't let myself do it. But I just believe Watson. I don't typically believe that second-year guys, particularly coming off an injury with very little experience, can be that exciting. But I think Watson is just a very unique situation, and I think he's going to do big things this year again. So to answer your question, John, it's going to be fun to watch now.
I think the second-best division – in the NFL behind the NFC South.
Interesting. Okay.
There's not a lot of
you're
good
saying with a healthy Andrew Luck.
With a healthy Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
You're always as good as your worst team. Andrew has never had a losing record.
Yeah.
Even when they had injuries and poor performance, their worst record is 8-8.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be very competitive because of him. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, the Texans are the only team that is unhappy Andrew's coming back because – I'm sorry, they're happy Andrew's coming back because Jacoby Brissett, the Texans killer, is 3-0.
He's 3-0. That's one of the most amazing anomalies out there statistically, is that Jacoby Brissett, who I think is one – I can count on one hand how many games he's won, right, John?
Yes.
In the NFL, and three of them are against the Houston Texans. That's absolutely crazy. lost in your injury that you sustained, John. Not lost in it. You mentioned it as you were telling your story about it. But you were in Nashville when you were flying back here to Houston. You were in Nashville over the weekend at a charity event. What's the mood up in Nashville like right now with the Mike Vrabel era imminent?
It's so unfair to Mike Mularkey. But he, you know, he gets fired after going to the second round of the playoffs, upsetting the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And I think I've told the story when we went up for the Texans game against them in December. And I, what I do on Saturdays is I go to two different meals, a lunch and a dinner, with people, can be 20, 25, can be 5 or 10. And across the board, they complained about the Titans. I told them, you guys are tied for first place. How can you complain? You could be the Texans or the Colts. And so they didn't like Mularkey because he had no charisma, because his offense was boring. He was stubborn to change. Terry Rubisky was his GM, I mean, his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And they said that you'll be stunned at how many empty seats there are at the stadium. Mm-hmm. And they were right. I was stunned. So they fire him. They hire Vrabel. And Mike is a great talker. Mike has done every interview they wanted him to do. And the fundraiser I do up there every year, one of them is called the Shin Muscular Dystrophy, that it only strikes little boys and there's no cure. And there's a family I've been trying to help raise money now for the last 6 years.
Is that what Jim Kelly's son had?
Do what?
Is that what Jim Kelly's son had?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And that one was hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
This is the Shin Muscular Dystrophy, and okay, it kills, and there's no cure for little boys.
Yeah.
So John Robinson had done with 3 years with me. And I asked Vrabel, and when I asked Mike after he got that job, I said, by the way, I do fundraisers in Nashville. I'm in. And he asked what it was about.
Yeah.
I do another one up there for animal rescue.
That's smart.
And so, and the one we do is a private dinner at a restaurant with all, like, suite holders. These are people with money. And I watch Mike talk, and I stay the last person's there. And they were just blown away.
Yeah.
And what a forceful personality, how excited they were. The fans are pumped about the Titans. Vrabel, Matt LaFleur coming from the Rams, putting that offense in. Vrabel's got his 3-4 with Dean Pease, who retired from the Ravens. So they are fired up. And the same thing there is here. Your quarterback's got to stay healthy. Mariota hasn't stayed healthy in his first 3 years.
Yep.
And Blake Bortles is always healthy.
Yeah.
And so, and they're pumped about it. They worked on their defense in offseason. They had worked on the offense last offseason. And they know this. I believe that the AFC South, barring injuries,
yep,
is going to send three teams to the playoffs.
Wow.
Because I think nobody from the AFC East, they're terrible, other than the Patriots.
Yep.
I don't think much of Baltimore or Cincinnati.
Yep.
And in AFC West, I want to pick the Chargers, but you can't. Clint, how would you have liked to have played, and you played road games, probably 13 road games and 3 home games. What kind of disadvantage is that?
Huge.
That's what the
Absolutely
Chargers have.
Absolutely huge.
That's why I can't pick the Chargers.
They're so talented, too. I mean, they had a real home field advantage. That's actually one of the things I've had to talk to get to this week to talk about. Like, if you were a San Diego Charger fan, what would you think? We should bring this up in the 5 o'clock hour. A San Diego Charger, like someone who didn't live in L.A.
Oh, and they weren't still there.
Yeah.
If they were still there, the Charger fans would
be nuts,
pumped about this team.
Yeah, I think if you live in San Diego and you're a Charger fan, there's probably – I guess it's not like when the Oilers moved to Nashville – it's a day trip up
the
5,
street,
but still,
yeah,
that it says Los Angeles Chargers probably kind of hit. It's kind of a gut punch.
Why do you guys think Charger fans won't go to Southern LA, but they're convinced Raiders fans are going to go to Vegas? Is it just because it's Vegas?
I think part of that is yes. I think the Raiders fans have followed the Raiders before after a move. They moved to LA and back to Oakland. I think the Raiders fans are conditioned to be a little more transient than Charger fans are. And San Diego's always had a huge rivalry with L.A. Like, they don't like that the name Los Angeles is on their team. Those two cities have had sports hatred for each other for a long, long time.
Yeah, and there's no rival in Vegas, by the way. So the Raiders fans will come out of the woodworks, right? I mean, there's really no rival. What else are they going
to
do?
Yeah, exactly. No, right. It's a brand new city to the NFL. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.